Hey, next week, voters in Alaska decide whether to eliminate a tax break for the oil industry. Political ads on this issue are all over TV.
You don't have to trust the big oil companies. Results speak for themselves.
More oil production is the answer.
Our shop is busier, and it's a direct result of oil tax reform.
This issue affects every Alaskan because the state has no sales or income tax. It gets nearly all its revenue from taxing oil production. Here's Alaska Public Media's Alexandra Gutierrez.
Denise Roselle and Dan Anderson share a lot as neighbors. He plows her driveway. She lets him park his truck there. Their Anchorage ranch homes are nearly identical. But there's one area where they're clearly divided.
My name is Denise Roselle, and I'm voting yes on Proposition 1.
I'm voting no on Proposition 1.
That is, Roselle wants to get rid of an oil tax cut, and Anderson wants to keep it. The neighbors have been waging a tiny battle of the yard signs.
Yeah, they gave me a shorter sign, and I put it on a longer pole to get it above everybody else, I guess.
And Roselle responded with a longer pole of her own. The rivalry is friendly, but Roselle and Anderson see the referendum as a critical fight over Alaska's future. Crude has brought in more than $100 billion in state tax dollars since Prudhoe Bay was developed in the 1970s, but now less oil is being pumped from the field. Roselle was one of 50,000 voters who signed a petition to end the tax cut. As a teacher, she's worried the tax cut means less money for schools.
Our state constitution says we're an owner state, and it seems that we are giving away our resources to oil companies.
Meanwhile, Anderson thinks that lower taxes will encourage industry to find new oil, which could be good for a contractor like him.
My economy is based on me having a job, and in Alaska, more jobs come out of oil than almost anything.
That's been one of the industry's key arguments for keeping the tax cut. Helping to manage that campaign is Kara Moriarty, who directs an industry association. At the members-only petroleum club, she describes the tax break as a trade-off, where there might be less state revenue per barrel, but potentially more oil to tax.
Some think that, you know, it's a declining field and there's no way we're ever going to get any more out of the ground, so we should have a high tax policy to take what we can get before it's all gone. Well, that's just not accurate.
Moriarty adds that industry might not invest as aggressively in the state if the tax cut is repealed. Exxon, BP, and Conoco have put more than $10 million toward defeating the referendum. In contrast, those who want to raise taxes on oil companies are being outspent 40 to 1. So their campaign is focused on grassroots organizing. Their headquarters buzzes with volunteers working the phones and constructing yard signs. Coordinator Nick Moe sees his camp as underdogs.
You know, if we can pull up an upset here and win, it can show that there's people power over money in politics.
Hello. Hello, is Kevin home?
A big part of their campaign is old-fashioned canvassing.
We're checking in with neighbors in the area to see if we've earned your support yet.
Moe gives his pitch. He says if oil companies pay lower taxes, services could be cut, or citizens may have to make up the gap.
No, I'd support it. I'd vote yes.
Nice.
If I can remember to.
And with polling showing the race neck and neck, whether voters remember to come out for the primary could make the difference. For NPR News, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez in Anchorage.